Welcome to the Faith in Swim podcast, where we dive into, pun intended, the intersection of swimming and living a life for God. So this is our second episode. We're back at it again. And I hope that, if you're watching, if you're a believer, this may bless you. And if you're an unbeliever, it may bless you all the same. And so I have a special guest with me today, somebody that I've known in the sport for years. He's grown up with me through age group swimming. He's just been around. He's been such a great person and such an awesome guy to meet. And so I'd like to welcome my guest, Sebastian Suwanda. What's up?
Hello, Solomon. Thanks for having me on.
And so it's gonna be really awesome, just because, like my first guest, I've been around you for a while. So it's not like, you're just a random person. You're somebody that I've like kind of grown up with. You've seen me progress, and I've seen you progress as well. And so just tell me, like, how's your spring break, man?
Well, spring break was awesome. My spring break was actually last week, unlike a lot of other schools. So it's kind of weird being in school. I mean, and practice started this week, so half the team was missing, so that was kind of weird. But spring break was pretty cool because me and my family traveled to DC, and so it was pretty awesome because I'm a big history buff. So seeing all like the monuments and everything in person was pretty cool. I mean, probably one of my favorite parts was getting to stand at the spot where Martin Luther King gave his "I Have a Dream" speech. That was probably one of the coolest things I've done.
That's really cool. I've been to DC a couple of times as well, since I'm going to be going there in the fall for school. But just also, my brother went to DC to tour the same school I'm going to like 3 4 years ago, so I got to be in that city a lot. And it's I gotta say, it's a very, very beautiful city. And so I'm super excited to be back, and I'm happy that you got to go, because honestly, there's so much history there that just being in that environment, it's like, wow, like I'm actually here. And so it's awesome to be present in those moments. And
Absolutely,
so,
especially like if you're like me and you love history. I mean, just seeing everything in person, it's surreal.
Okay, Sebastian. So I may know you, but I know that a lot of our guests may not. And so I just want to allow you a chance to like introduce yourself. So say who and what made you get into competitive swimming. Kind of like give us an introduction to you and the sport. Also say like your faith story, how you've grown to know God in your life, and where you are now in your career.
Okay, so right now I currently swim for Dallas Mustangs swim team. Previously, I swam for Texas Ford Aquatics and City of Plano Swimmers. I also how I got into competitive swimming was really because my sister got into it. The story goes that my dad tossed my sister in a pool and she almost drowned. So that's what got her into competitive swimming. And so I'm sorry to have to out my sister here, but that's how I got into swimming. And then, in terms of my faith life, I'm Catholic myself. I've grown up Catholic. My parents raised me Catholic. I went to church every Sunday, and my family prays every night. And so I think really that strong foundation from my mom and dad really set me up well in my faith life. There are times I've doubted my faith. Like there are times I've thought about like what happens after death and other supernatural topics that have made me question my faith. But I think it's really but It's ultimately it's through in, through intellect reason that my faith has really I want to say like proven itself, or I've been able to affirm my beliefs.
And so like, where do you say you are now in your career? Just like, I guess kind of like thoughts for the future, what your goals are now, things like that.
So as a junior, I started talking with schools last summer, and so we're look. I took a visit to Catholic U during my spring break, and I love the university there. So that's an option too. I'm visiting some other schools and throughout the month of April, but I do plan on swimming in college. And so I'm just looking forward to continuing my swimming career after senior year.
That's really cool. And I forgot you're a junior. I don't know why I assumed all my friends are seniors, but you're a junior. You talked about like the intellect part and having doubts and whatever. And so I know I've gone through that a lot as well, doubting my faith, doubting, if what I believe is really true. And I feel like if that's not a part of your faith faith journey. I mean, it's not like necessary to go through doubts, but you see it so much in scripture, people doubting, like the person who told Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief, And then also Thomas, who is literally called Doubting Thomas because he wouldn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead until he actually touched his wounds. And so doubting is a big part of the faith because it's where we get our questions answered. And so whenever we have a question, like you say, there's answers and there's intelligent answers to these questions that help reassure us because every worldview really you had to have some faith in it because it's not 100%, you can't prove 100%. You can't prove Christianity 100%, but you can give a cause to believe. And once you do that and you have that evidence, then our responsibility is how we're going to respond to it and if we're going to accept Christ and if we're going to follow in step with him or not.
It's
So
absolutely, I love what you said. I love what you're saying here because there's only so much evidence you can give. I mean, one thing, something I heard that a lot is that you will never be able to be 100% sure. I think it was from who was it? I forgot, but he said that you will never be able be 100% certain about anything. Like, for example, I don't know that you're not planning on come to my house and shoot me after this. But like, I have to have that faith in you, and I have to have that faith. Like, what I have to have faith in you that you're a friendly person. Likewise, I have to have that faith in God. That's just something that I love, that no matter how much evidence we have, at the end, it'll be our faith that it will be our faith in God.
And just another thought, like if we're 100% sure that God was real, if God like wrote in the sky like a lot of people wanted to do, I was like, what the cause, like I am God, believe in Jesus Christ, would that faith be out of love or would it just be out of knowledge? Because you see constantly over and over again in scripture, God says that he doesn't want, necessarily the things we do, but he wants our heart and he wants us to love him and love people and to live out our faith through love, right? And so if it was only an intellectual pursuit, where would be the love? Because it would just be like, it would just be like math. It just, it is. And so God is a relationship. He's a relational God, and he's not just, an intellectual God. So, that's why we have faith because faith, it produces love. And so, I've noticed just like through knowing you that you have always had a positive attitude. I remember at sectionals, we were swimming a relay in the same heat, and like I'm just focused on my business, and I just hear you screaming on the other side of the pool because you won a best time. I mean, later we hear that you got your team
We
got
got you,
DQ'd,
teams.
unfortunately, but you've always just came with such a positive vibe. You're always just so energetic and just I honestly want to say motivated too. And so, how, like, what do you believe impacts that impacts your attitude?
Well, I think part of it is faith. I mean, I believe that God is good, and there's a lot of backstory behind my attitude at sectionals. I'll probably get to that a little later. But I think that part of it is God, but then part of it is my team. I mean, I'm grateful to have a supportive team that's with me through the ups and downs. I have a coach that saw me go through one of the roughest seasons I've had in a while, and nonetheless, they don't care whether I've added a bunch of time or whether I've dropped a bunch of time. They're still there for me. They're still there to support me. They got my back, and knowing that I have teammates and I have friends who will be there with me no matter what is definitely something that impacts my attitude. And with that, it comes with like trying to give that positive attitude back. It's when I know when we're going through some of the roughest sets in the middle of October, having someone being that positive force can be really big, can really make or break, can really help or hurt the team's mental state, or like it can really define whether our team is happy or whether we're about to quit, you know.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you, as the person that tries to be the hype man on my team, it's so important to like give back that energy and to like try to like send it through a feedback loop because it's so easy from October through the December to just like want to give up because there's not a lot
Absolutely.
of meets in that time of season. It's a lot of training, it's a lot of early mornings and just hard practices. And so it's so easy to get discouraged and to forget, like why we're doing this. And so, I mean, that's why I love seeing you with a positive attitude and other people that just, bring the heat, bring the vibes because, we need that. If we're all just moping around all the time, I just know that we just get worse. Positive attitude is everything. And so, yeah, bro, like that's really good.
Absolutely. I think,
Yeah.
well, part of it, I think, is love. I think, we all know the passage from 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, love does not boast. And I feel it's really easy when you're dropping time and when you're when you're dropping time when you're having success. But I think that love should not be necessarily a feeling. It should be a choice. And it's something I've had to really learn over the season when I wasn't dropping time, when I was adding. There were times in my life where I'd lash out at teammates, lash out at my parents, lash out at like friends. But it's taught me that one, to be humble and to seek forgiveness from those people I've hurt. And two, that if I'm going to be a true Christian, I cannot only love when it feels good. I have to love when it hurts.
Yeah.
I have to celebrate as a Christian, I really should celebrate my teammates who are having success, even though I may not be having that. That's me.
Yeah.
And what I've learned is that that makes me feel better. It makes me sharing Christ's love even when I'm not having the best time. That on the inside makes you feel good as just a hum as a human being.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times we, and just the American culture and just the cultural mindset is that we have to, look out for ourselves. We got to put ourselves first. We got to, seek our own good. But the gospel and Christianity is just so contrary to that, where we're always seeking, like Romans 12 says, to outdo one another and showing honor and to always seek the good of others first and to put other people before you, not to do anything out of selfish ambition or conceit, like Philippians 2:3 says. It's just so contrary. But the thing is that it's hard in the beginning to do those things, but then you slowly realize, like, hey, with doing this, I actually feel more fulfilled. I feel more, happy. I feel just more peace because of it. And I'm not saying that we should do it because it's going to help us in the end. We do it because it's obeying God and it's doing what God has designed us to do. But then when you realize that you're doing what you've been designed to do, then once you realize that you have peace and you have joy and you have love, it's like, well, that kind of makes sense, And so, yeah, and there's been a lot of times when it's been hard to do that, hard to be humble, hard to ask for forgiveness, hard to forgive. And so it's really in those hard times that we do those things, right? So
Think that's probably been the theme of the season for me. It's humility, because while I haven't necessarily improved as much as a swimmer, I think that I've noticed in myself and more improvement as a person. I started praying a lot more because I started struggling. I started journaling. I started meditating for 5 minutes every day in prayer. And that all comes because I realized that I can't do this on my own. I need God to go through this with me. And just having that 5 minutes of prayer every day, just having that journaling every day, that's brought me some sort of comfort if I've had a bad day, or it's made me more grateful when I've had a good day.
Yeah. I used to journal and then I stopped. The thing is like and I was actually looking back at my journal yesterday, seeing just like where I used to be and how God's brought me through. It's like you step back and you're like dang, I used to struggle with that. That used to be a very real part of my life. And then you see God being faithful and bringing you through. And it always serves as just a very big encouragement for me. And I wish I did it more because I did it like all throughout last year and then I stopped because it was just like a lot of writing. But yeah, journaling is just I think it's a good tool for anybody, but especially for the Christian to remember what God has brought you through. Because like if you look at the Israelites, and basically any time that somebody's disobedient in the Bible, you can kind of like chalk that up to they forgot. Like the Israelites, they forgot how God brought them through the Red Sea. They forgot how God is raining down manna from heaven, and they get caught up in seeing, other nations and other peoples, and they get afraid. Same thing with Peter. When he denied Jesus three times, he saw all of the miracles Jesus did, yet I believe that in fear he forgot those things, and so he allowed fear to take control, and so he did. He went back on his word and he did what he said he wouldn't, and so it may not be like the direct cause, but I see a correlation between forgetting and disobedience to God. And if I, like in my personal life, if I just remembered all that God has brought me through, all that God has done, I would feel confident in knowing that whatever next step I feel like he's calling me to take, I can take it. I don't have to be afraid, And so it's just journaling, that act of remembering. It's so important for just everybody to do.
Absolutely. And I think that that's where gratitude comes in. Being thankful for your blessings is something I've had to learn again that throughout this year that taking the small wins, taking the small drops in time, and being grateful to God that I'm able to be just at the meet and swimming. I mean, while I may not be improving, but at least I'm there. That being there itself is a blessing from God, and I think remembering that has made me a much happier person, and it's really helped me fight some of the mental struggles I went through at the beginning of the year and through winter training. And it's just, I think it's made me a better teammate. So now I'm no longer in a grumpy mood all the time. I'm happier than I was net before, allowing me to treat other people with kindness and bring that positive attitude that you talked about earlier.
That's so true. And I know like every athlete can relate to having seasons and times throughout their career that they just it's felt like it was just one thing after the other, like what's next, and just having just kind of like that feeling of despair. But there's always hope. There's always hope, and especially for the believer and even for the unbeliever, like there's a God that wants to walk with you through this life, and so that's what really got me through a lot of my career, especially going through like really tough training seasons when I was 12, like super young, and like just all that, just remembering that his kingdom cannot be shaken, like it says
Yes.
in Hebrews 12, that even if everything else shakes, God's kingdom just it will stand firm. And so just remembering to stand firm and to trust in his plan and just following through with it, like no matter what, it's the best thing you can do.
Well, something that I think I my dad keeps reminding me, and I'm grateful that he does, is that your sport is not your life. Well, a sport is absolutely great. I mean, I'm not in any way discrediting sports, but a sport will not be your entire life. There will be so much more that after your career ends. I mean, you'll probably have a family. I mean, you get a job. You can possibly become a parent. I mean, all those things are, I'd argue, probably more important than whatever sport you're doing right now. And I think if we stop treating our sport as our lives and instead started treating it as a tool to help get you to heaven, then I think we'd all be much more happier in our sports, because a sport, if we treat a sport as our lives, our happiness or satisfaction or comfort depends on whether we're doing well or not. And at the end of the day, God's not going to judge us on whether we got the best time, or we draw, or we dr or like, we won the race. God's going to judge us based on how we treat other people. And so at the end of the day, if we just realize that using a using this your sport as a tool to help grow in the qualities in Christ-like qualities, qualities like perseverance, qualities like teamwork, and qualities like kindness, I think we'd be much happier with whatever result we had at the end of the day.
I saw you're at state as well this year, so tell me, what was that like? Especially, oh well, no, you're a junior. I'm thinking about it as a senior, like having my last state appearance, how that felt. But how would you describe state, just like in your own words?
Oh, it's the best meet of your life. I mean, when you saw finals, they had the lights show and everything, and that was its state is a, especially down here in Texas, where swimming is, we're in one of the fastest states in the country. A pub state, UIL state, is one of the most jaw-dropping experiences of your life. And you said seeing everyone there, who's everyone's just like they got their guys in the water. Everyone's just screaming their heads off, like cheering, like go! And it's always so fun watching those races. And we got some good races at the end. I mean, probably one of my favorites was the 2 minute the relay. I know Keller was down big until their butterflyer hit some massive underwater on the second wall, and then it got him in the first place and let the freestyle finish the job. That was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. I mean,
I mean, just
it's cool.
like watching it is like actually so crazy. And I know for me, I made like three state appearances, but two of them, like my sophomore and junior year, were just for relays. And so this year I was able to go for an individual, and I was nearly dead last. I was like 21st, but I was able to squeak into finals. I got 16th, and so like actually being able to like participate in that was like it was so real. But honestly, the main thing was just like doing it with your friends, being
Yeah,
around your
absolutely.
teammates and just having a good time. I feel like that's way more fulfilling than like any time you could swim or whatever. But
That's what makes high school so much more fun than club is that I think high school, you got something on the line. Like you're competing not just for yourself, but you're competing for the logo on your cap. You're competing for your school's pride, and just like you don't want to let the guys who have stood behind you this entire way, even not just the state team, it's the JV guys who've been cheering you on since the beginning of the season. Like you don't want to let them down at the state meets. I think that's what makes high school swimming really fun, but and really rewarding. It's just knowing that you got guys behind you who are going to support you, and you don't want to let them down.
And I feel that way too, because there's a lot of underclassmen that I want to know, because I get so many times I hear certain underclassmen say, if this is a good time, is this fast or whatever. I'm like, don't look at me. Like, think about yourself and like how you what you believe is a good time, man. Because oftentimes we get so caught up in trying to be better than everybody else that our view of a good time gets skewed. And swimming, like, really, it's as much as it is objective. Like, there will always be people faster than you. It's also very subjective, and it's also very relative to your goals and what you want to accomplish in the sport. And so oftentimes we get so caught up in like trying to chase after other people, comparing ourselves, that we forget that this sport is meant to serve us, and it's meant to be an enjoyable experience. And so one thing I really want my underclassmen and just other teammates to know is that, you don't need to chase other people's goals. You don't need to chase other people's ambitions. You got to chase what you want to see in the sport. And so, swimming for my team, that's a really big one for me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so, I know you've probably experienced this as a senior, but are you a captain for Lakeridge this year?
They don't have captains, but there's like technically like there's people that kind of like lead, because we have like team cheers and whatever. And so I did that this year. Yeah, it's there's no captains.
But I'm sure as a senior, you still have had experience with some sort of leadership.
For
I think
sure.
that's one other thing that's swimming, even just as a junior, swimming has taught me that it's taught me how to be a leader. And I think on the topic of leadership, you cannot be a leader without being humble. mean, having the humility to recognize that even though you are one of the older ones on the team, and or you may have, you may be the fa one of the faster ones on the team, we at the end of the day still need God, and we still need our teammates to help get us through the to get us through the season. And being able to help, especially some of the guys who come in, and they maybe, since swimming is a non-cut sport at Jesuit, maybe some of the guys don't know what they're doing. I mean, I know there's one freshman who, he's not the fittest freshman, but he went from not knowing how to even dive off the blocks at the beginning of the season to going under 30 in his 50 free. And that, and seeing him every day, every time he get a best time, and he's gonna paddle the water and be like, "Yes, I went under 30." That's it's such a joy to see, and it reminds you that yeah, swimming is more than just your time. It's seeing others improve, being able to help other people through every single one of their struggles, through one of the joys. It's just being there for your t being there for your team. It's just saddest. It's what swimming is all about.
Awesome, man. So, the next question is like, how do you share your faith through your sport? Like, what, how do you like kind of like, you know, how do I say it right? How do you kind of like highlight God throughout, you know, your career and push people to know, not like push like Bible thump or anything, but you know, like kind of like show people the way.
Well, I think it comes more to comes down to what Saint Francis of Assisi once said. He once said that so you wish if you wish to reform the world, you must reform yourself, unless your efforts will be in vain. I think that really speaks to, if we're going to share our faith, it's not maybe have it's not just having a Bible verse in your Instagram bio, or it's not just, praying in public. I think it's the way you treat other people, that that imitate in a way that imitates Christ. I think if you treat other people with kindness, people will grow to see, because the Christian faith is everywhere nowadays. I mean, especially with social media and everything, people, I'd be sure that there's not many people who don't know at least who Christ is or know about Jesus Christ. And I think that if they know you're a Christian and they see you treating other people in a really bad way, they're going to be like, "Why would I want to be Christian? These guys are just hypocrites." But if you treat people with kindness, and maybe someone's either struggling with their faith or is uncertain about their faith, they'll be more confident in their faith, knowing that there are other people who are like them, who are treating people in the best way possible. I think it really comes down to how you, it's not whether you verbally share your faith, it's whether you, through your actions, show that you're a Christian. Something I once heard is that I once heard on social media, and I think that's probably everywhere now, is that if Christianity was illegal and you were arrested, would they have enough evidence to convict you? Would they be able to say, "Yeah, he loves his neighbor. Yeah, he treats others as he himself would like to be treated"? And I think if you can firmly answer yes, they would have enough evidence to convict me for being a Christian, just based on your actions alone, then you can confidently say that you are sharing your faith.
Okay, so now shifting to back to kind of like challenges, what was the biggest challenge that you faced within your career and how did you overcome it?
I think probably the biggest challenge I faced was envy and self-doubt. I think those two things go hand in hand, because this season a lot of my friends dropped time. A lot of my friends are getting recruited D1, and when you're not, it's easy to like to celebrate when you're like dropping time, when you yourself are dropping time, when you yourself are going fast. But it was harder for me because I wasn't dropping any time this season. I dropped like 3 times this entire year, and that I hate to say it, but that made me jealous. I think that would bring out some sort of envy and some sort of envy of them. But I think one of the things that was really powerful for me is that I went into what Catholics have is called the Sacrament of Confession, and the pri I told the priest that I had tr I'm struggling with envy. How do I overcome it? And he told me something that really influenced my mood. This is like the week before sectionals, so this is what I was talking about with like the backstory behind, the dance and everything. He told me to pray for the grace of contentment. And I think that really impacted the way my sectionals went, because even though I didn't drop any time at sectionals, yeah, I was still under 450 in the 500 for the first time since December. So I think just seeing those small wins, seeing those, you know, that where I was, and just looking at how great, and just like thinking about how grateful I was just to have my teammates, that really, I think, helped me get through both my struggles with Indy and like in sectionals.
Yeah, that's good. When I think about confession, I think about James 5. It's either James 5:16 or James 5:18, where it says, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." And so then it says, "The righteous person, the prayer." Actually, let me just I have my Bible right here. Let me just look at it, just to be accurate.
I have my Bible here right now, and I've had this thing since second grade when I received my first communion, and this thing has been through a lot. It was in my backpack all freshman year, so now it's kind of torn, but it still works.
So James 5:16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." And a righteous person is literally anybody that has been justified by Christ. So people that have been saved, we are made righteous. And so that's why, we are able to have a relationship with the Father. And so when James says that the prayer of a righteous person has great power, that's saying the prayer of anybody that is a Christian has great power. And so that's why confessing is such an important thing to do for every Christian. And then also, you said the grace of contentment. That really is grace because, being content is not an easy state of mind at all, because it's realizing that, even if you have abundance, if you're in abundance, or if you have like essentially nothing to your name, you're still satisfied with what God has given you in your life, and you're grateful for the things that He has done. And so it's just like it takes grace, because we're surrounded in such a culture where it's like everything, is trying to get our attention, is trying to, make us want more. We live in such a materialistic society and things like that, where it's just always get. But the man of God, we're called to be content, and with contentment comes peace. And so and lastly, like with envy, I struggle with envy through a lot of my career, and that's something that I've had to wrestle with. But it takes a lot of vulnerability to say that, because if truth be told, probably most swimmers struggle with envy. It's just in different degrees, because some, they have instant success and they are actually able to sustain that. Some, everybody's career is a little different. And so, that's really good. That's really good.
And I think, you were talking about struggles. I think that's where your faith really gets tested, because it's easy to trust God and know God is there when you're on top of the world, when you're getting your time, accumulating all these accolades. But once your swimming takes a hit, once you're not swimming as well as you used to, then I think that's where your faith comes in. Because when I was struggling throughout the season, my faith was the only thing that kept me from going in a downward spiral. Even when I still would go in a downward spiral, the only thing that would keep me from completely falling off and just isolating myself was God. I think that's, and so I would encourage anyone who's struggling with their swimming right now to lean on their faith and to just remember God is always there for you, no matter how your swimming is going.
So I guess the last question I have is, if you could go back throughout your swim career, would you change anything, or do you think, you could have done, well, everybody could have done better, but what would you change, if anything?
If I were to go back in my swim career and change anything, I think it would be not so much worrying about how other people are doing and worrying about yourself. I think that's something I would change, because I think I've lost so many good opportunities to swim because I was scared of someone who I knew was either as fast or faster than me. And I think that knowing, just worrying about yourself and worrying about the things you can control, because you can only control so many things, but and there's so many more things you can't control. However, if you focus on what you can control, that you'll notice your swimming will be a lot better, and you'll be a much happier person than when you were worrying about someone else.
That's good, man. So we're gonna land this plane, wrap up this episode. So with all my guests, I have a little rapid fire round. It's
Okay,
just some quick
good.
questions, and you gotta answer with like basically the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
So you ready?
Bring it.
Okay. What's your current hype song?
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's so hard. There's so many. Ain't No Love in Oklahoma by Luke Combs.
Okay. Country, right?
Yeah. That's,
Okay.
I'm not a big country guy, but that's one of the few country songs I like.
Gotcha. Is the 400 IM harder than the mile?
No.
Exactly.
I'd rather get my race done and over with. And by the 409 hertz, it mentally is so much better than swimming the mile.
Yeah, exactly. If not swim, what sport would you be doing?
Football. I don't
Football.
know why I say that, but a kicker. But we'll make it straight. I'm not a kicker. I'll be a
Okay.
kicker. I'm not
Gotcha.
tackling anybody. I'm not getting tackled. I'm going to be a kicker.
What does that poster of Nick Fink on the back of your wall mean?
Okay, so actually, that was a funny story. So, one of the guys in my group chat posted something from Canes' Instagram showing that Nick Fink was going to be at Canes, and it was in C Transit SMU was going to be it was the one near SMU. So, and I was one of the few guys that wasn't in school, so I'm like, why not? And so I went down to Canes. I actually have a picture of me and Nick Fink. Let me see if I can pull it up. But I got to meet Nick Fink. Got to meet his wife. But he and his wife are really great people. And I also got a box combo out of it, so it was
That's
fun.
actually that's so crazy. That's hilarious
I have the
and really cool.
picture. Here you go. Here it is. I have the picture right here. That
Wow.
was it was one
That's
of the highlights
legit.
of the summer. But yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah. Anyways, I got lunch out of it, so I'm
Yeah,
happy.
true. Oh, it was a free box combo?
No, I think it was a. I think no. I still have to pay for the box combo, but that was still cool.
Okay.
I got an autograph. I got a couple autographs of Nick Fink, and yeah. So yeah, that was a cool experience.
Cool. So, favorite swimmer and why?
Caleb Dressel.
Caleb
That's the
Dressel.
first thing that came to mind. I think Caleb Dressel because he it's such an inspir he's such an inspiration. He's been very open about his struggles mentally, and I think that's something inspiring to do that we're taught. I think especially in this culture as dudes to let especially as men to like hold up your feelings, to bottle up your feelings, to not say anything, but seeing a guy who's in such a spotlight be vulnerable about how he struggled mentally and how he struggled with, like, I think he calls it post-Olympic depression, that's inspiring.
Yeah.
It's not only inspired me to be more vulnerable with myself, but it's inspired me to look out for other people and see, just check in with friends, like, how you doing today? I mean, they going well, because you never know when you could potentially save a life.
Yeah. And if you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Flying,
Fine.
and it make getting to practice so much easier. Holy cow! Because the parking there, or at SMU where I train every Sunday, there is no parking whatsoever. It's so like there's the parking spaces are very few, and being able to fly would solve that problem.
Yeah, true. Okay, so the last question is, if you're able to talk to, younger athletes or just like a giant group of swimmers, and you could say basically whatever you want, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to. I tell them what the priest told me. Pray for the grace and contentment. Because, like I said earlier, if you gratitude, I think if you are content with where you are be a much happier person. And I'm not saying that ambition is good. I mean, sorry, I'm not saying that ambition is bad. I'm just saying that while ambition is good, never lose sight of how far you've come, because when you're struggling and when you're not improving, one of the greatest comforts is just seeing where you were 10 years ago, not only as a swimmer, but as a person as well. Because swimming is more than just a sport. It's a way of life. It really drains you. It drains you emotionally and physically. And I think just looking at where you've come, how far you've come, both physically and both emotionally and as a person, how swimming has changed you for the better and more in many aspects of your life. I think that's one of the greatest comforts. Actually was one of the greatest comforts to me going through the season.
Yeah, that's awesome, bro. Well, just want to say thank you for being on the Faith Swim podcast, man. I mean, it was such a pleasure talking to you. You're a very authentic, and very faith focused guy. So like, I just want to say thank you, and yeah, best. I don't want to say best of luck because I don't believe in luck, but I wish the best for you, in your senior year, and I'm excited to see what, God has in store for you.
Thank you, Solomon. It was great being on. I really enjoyed our discussion. I think I learned a couple things, but a couple things from you that I'm sure to take into my life. And I really do wish you the best. I know Howard's D1, and I know how Howard does a duel with Georgetown. So maybe I'll look
Yeah.
into Georgetown so I can duel. So I'll be able to duel with you every year.
That'd be awesome, bro. That'd be awesome.
I'll see you. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Yeah, you too, man.
Thank you.